everyone, how are you doing? If you're new here, I'm Dr. Sheen, an Oxford and Cambridge graduate, a tech entrepreneur and business coach.
And welcome back to Dream Girl. And today we're joined by the amazing Reem. Hi Reem, how are you?
I'm outstanding. Thank you so much for having me.
What great vibes. Please Reem, can you introduce yourself to my audience?
Absolutely. So my name is Reem Alhouni. I'm the CEO and founder of a group of video companies. But my main brand is called TI22 Films, and that's where we produce a lot of TV shows, TV content. But I also have a second brand, Dubai On Demand, where we help a lot of individuals get visible in front of the camera.
Oh, that's amazing. So if we were to take a little step back now, how did you get started on this journey?
I have forever been obsessed with the world of film and TV. So, you know, from childhood, I've always consumed way too much content. And I think it's one of those where, you know, when you realize you enjoy something, you try and figure out how can you become part of the process. And to be honest, that obsession started really young. And my first work experience, my first internship was when I was 16 at NBC in the UK. They used to be based in the UK. And I just remember it till now. I remember going into the studio for the first time and that realization of, oh my God, I can actually do this for a living. Not only am I going to consume content, I can create it. So so really the obsession started from an early age, and I've persisted and worked my way up from that point all the way. I mean, our industry has a very clear ladder, so worked my way up. And yeah, it's translated to where I am today.
That's amazing. How long have you been in Dubai now?
17 years.
Oh, wow. I keep bumping into people who've been here for so long. I've been here for 2 years.
Okay.
And I've seen it change massively in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But you must have seen it literally grow up in front of you, right?
Totally. I mean, I remember till now, one of the reasons, you know, why I was pulled to moving here is I actually came here on holiday. I came here on a 1 week holiday and I was like, oh, there's a media city. And I was like, oh, there's sunny. And I went to media city, and at that time they used to sell a physical book with all the production companies in it. And I sat in a coffee shop and I literally just reached out to all of them, had kind of 5 interviews in that week, landed a job, and that was it. And I moved.
Wow.
So it was very instinctive. It was very impulsive. But yes, talking about how it's changed, I think at that time, you know, it was very easy to navigate in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, the shift in our industry, because it's constantly evolving, going from more traditional media to digital media, means that the players have changed, the technology has changed, and unless you keep evolving with it, then you will become extinct. And I think I'm just very fortunate that I happen to enjoy learning. So, you know, I'm constantly educating myself, going to conferences, learning new things about technology, now AI, you know, and where that's taking us. And I think if you're constantly doing that, then you are evolving with the time. And Dubai is one of those places that's evolving along with you. So I'm very grateful for the environment, because I've seen other cities and other countries and they're not evolving at this pace. And if you're in the media industry, you need to be in an environment that is current and up to date.
Oh, 100%. But I loved how you just got your job by just being like, oh, I'm here, I'm going to get it before I go. But, and you also addressed the fact that it might not be this accessible anymore, right? So if you had any advice to young people who are trying to get into your industry, what advice would you have for them?
Well, I'll tell you how I got into the industry, because it all stems from the same thing, which is persistence and just going after what you want. And when I was in the UK, I used to, at that time, record on VHS tapes all of my favorite TV shows. And I'd sit there and I'd literally write down the names of everyone in the credits. And I knew that everyone at the BBC was firstname.surname@bbc.co.uk. And I would just email the planet and just thinking, this is going to work. And it did. So eventually, I got an email back from a show called Watchdog, which is a very popular show in the UK. I ended up doing work experience there. And I remember it till now, like my last day at Watchdog, and I was holding that BBC pass and I was like, how am I going to get back in this building? I need to stay in this building. How am I going to stay? And I literally went department to department to department. I went, hi, I'm an intern on Watchdog and today's my last day, so I'm available. And I'd get someone say, oh, sorry, we don't have anything. And I'd go to the next department. Like, hi, I'm an intern on Watchdog. Today's my last day. I'm available. Oh, wow. And about 7 or 8 departments in, I landed at BBC Education. And there I was going, hi, I'm an intern. I'm available. And they said, oh, well, we're about to start a new series. Can you research? I'm like, I can research. And just like that, I started researching and I ended up with them for about 2 years. So for me, the moral of the story is you have to create the opportunities. If you see something you want, the persistence is key. Going out there and being ready to do anything and just going for it. Because I see so many people who are like, oh, they're not going to pick me. I don't know how to do it. we're in a digital age where you can reach out to anyone. Like, you can DM someone on Instagram, they will reply. You can message them on LinkedIn, they will reply. If they don't, maybe they're not for you. But ultimately, the opportunity is there. Yeah. So it's about the effort you put in, and more effort in, the more you get out.
I love that. And isn't that there a saying that says, a lot of people will say no to you, don't be the first one to say no to yourself, right? Absolutely. So if you don't ask, you don't get.
Totally. I'm a big believer in that.
And I love that story of how you went from rejection to rejection to rejection until you got what you wanted, right? But how do you internally cope with being said no to so many times? Because that's what happens, right? We all know this now that we're on the other side, that you need to get a lot of rejections before you get what you want. But how did you deal with it internally when you were getting rejections in order to stay as motivated and excited?
I think you really truly have to visualize what you want so that there's no in the equation, right? So I'll give you another story, which is kind of similar, but I remember when I left my full-time position and I really didn't know what I was going to do. It was one of those where I just knew it wasn't the right fit for me anymore, and I was going to explore like the new world. And it was my last day, and I happened to hear that Mission Impossible was in town, right? And I was like, oh my God, a feature. I have to get on this feature. Same thing. I started ringing around everyone going, who do you know who's on the feature? Who does anyone know anybody who's working on this feature? And eventually, I know a director who said, oh, I'm having dinner with the production manager tomorrow night. I'm like, I'm coming to dinner. So I made it to dinner. And, you know, when you're sitting there, you're trying to get a word in and trying to just, you know, make sure they realize who you are and how you can help. And eventually, said, oh, this is my friend Reem. She's just left a position. And I said, yes, and I'm available. And then she said, oh, well, I think we've actually filled all the vacancies. I'm like, no, I'll do anything. We really have filled all the vacancies. Yeah. No, you're not getting it. I will do anything. And she said, well, we might have a vacancy in transport. I'll do transport.
Oh my God.
You know, so I had an interview the next day, and I became a transport coordinator on the movie. And for so many people, it was like, how did you go from being an executive producer one day to a transport coordinator? My mom in particular, I remember the phone call where she just said, are you trying to tell me that you left a position as an exec producer of a government station to manage people's cars? Oh. And I was like, yes, mom,
like
on a massive Hollywood blockbuster. I'll let you know how it goes. And it's just one of those where, coming back to your question, is that if you truly believe that this is an opportunity that's right for you, and it's one that you want, and you visualize it enough, and you put the effort in, doesn't matter how many people say no, right? So if they keep saying no, you're going to go, right, next. How do I do it? So even now with a team and a company, like, I instill in everybody, I don't want to hear no. Let's figure out how.
Mm.
You know, if this route didn't work, there's another route that works. And I'm a huge Tony Robbins believer. And something I heard years ago was, he often says, it's never about your resources, it's about your resourcefulness. And if you start to get it into your head that no matter what obstacle comes into your way, how resourceful can we be? What is the way around this to get past that no and get what you want? And I think once you've had a few small wins, it gives you that confidence to like keep going.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing this. And I think, okay, another question I have for you. Great. So that story you told us about Mission Impossible, how you use the network that you have. And we all know how important it is to network and create the network around you. And people say your network is your net worth. But for example, once you have the network, how do you use it? Because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. So for example, you just reached out and asked for what you wanted. But how do you make like efficient use of your network?
That is an excellent question. And I'm very, very big in the world of networking. I'm not sure if you or your audience are familiar with the world of BNI, but I was a member for 10 years. I was a director, and I'm now a regional director, mm-hmm. because it's played such a huge part in how my business has grown. And I think one of the core lessons I learned from BNI is the philosophy of giver's gain. So if you get it into your mindset that you're always looking for opportunities to give, how can you support those in your network?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not transactional. It's like, literally, if the more you understand about the people around you, the more you're in a position to support them. The day will come when you need the support and they will be there for you. So I think it's really connecting with people. It's making that effort, taking the time to really understand, what are your goals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you want this podcast to go? What is the objective that you have? If I'm able to support you, the day will come where you'll think of me and that opportunity will come my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to step away from it being a quick transactional relationship.
Yes.
And realize that when you're starting a relationship, it's long term. Mm-hmm. You know, these are, you're harvesting, you mm-hmm. know. So for me, it's played a big part, and I'm a big fan of doing it the right way. I'm not a fan of people who show up and go, here's my business card. I'm like, you need to build that trust first. And once we've got established trust, and now, you know, you've built that level of credibility, I'm more than happy to help you. And for sure, you'll see it come back to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. That's very good advice. And I agree with you. Like, a lot of people tend to keep it very transactional, or they just build a network of people that they don't know very well. So then what's the use of having that?
But having said that, so something that's worked amazingly for me in the last few years is my LinkedIn strategy. Mm-hmm. Because I've realized that, yes, you do amass a lot of contacts. How well do they know you? How well do you know them? Not that well, no. Right? But, you know, once you connect with them on a platform like LinkedIn, they're probably still watching your content. So I'm fairly consistent. I make sure I post every day. I do my best to add value, to educate people in my world, which is the video world. And I found that I've connected with a whole world of new people, but I've equally reconnected with old people who may not have realized how I can help them or what I do. So I think it's in your own power to put that content out there. And something I love to tell people is, if you're not visible, you're invisible. Mm. So it's in your hands right now to be as visible as you can. Embrace your knowledge, embrace your niche, put the content out there, and you'll be surprised at who in your network starts actually reaching out to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And if we were to go a little bit further from that now, obviously you've worked with big organizations, and then you decided to start your own thing. So now you are running multiple companies. How was that transition for you?
It was actually really difficult, you know, okay. And really, really difficult, because I'm someone who gets very, very obsessed with my work. So, you know, I was all consumed by, you know, when I was an employee, and all consumed with, you know, the environment that I was in. And I loved my job. And now suddenly I've taken this leap into starting my own company, which is a very solo journey, you know, and also, you know, in the TV world, you work very unpopular hours, you know, late at night, on the weekend, early morning, like whatever happens, yeah. happens. And when you're suddenly finding yourself starting this journey on your own, all your friends are still left in that world, you really need to restart. And that's where networking started to play a big part for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I sought out networks both to learn, because, you know, I realized that as strong as my abilities are in producing, starting a business and growing it is a completely different skill set. So I started to learn more and sign up to a lot of courses, but then I joined networks. So building a new community who are maybe on the same path as I was, who are all growing their business, really helped, because now suddenly I had, you know, someone to call when I had a question. So my biggest advice to anyone who is starting that journey is, surround yourself with people who are on the same journey. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, sadly, you know, people in your last chapter aren't necessarily the right people or the right fit for your next chapter. Mm-hmm. And until you learn how to let go of that branch, you're not going to be ready to hold the next.
And how do you let go of the previous branch?
It's hard. And it took me a while. There are probably some branches I still need to let go of, to be honest. But I think, you know, the older you get and the more experience you have, you start to realize that people change, you evolve, you change. You learn so much, you become a different person. And sometimes you're no longer aligned with the same group or the same people that you were 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know, but it's about having that confidence to say, you know what, we're going to be okay. We're going to find new relationships that will take us to where we need to go. And maybe just the dynamic of that relationship changes. So I've also become a little bit cutthroat. I've kind of got to a point where, you know what, this relationship isn't serving me. And if it's a relationship isn't serving me, a person, an entity, an organization, it is a choice whether you continue to engage with them. So it's understanding your own choices and starting to make the right choices to move towards the direction that you want to move to.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And another question I have for you, which a lot of women ask me a lot of times, is, I can clearly tell that you're a very confident person and you have a great energy. Where do you think that confidence came from? And also, whether you ever experienced imposter syndrome?
I always find it hilarious when people say that. So firstly, thank you. Thank you for saying it. I find it hilarious because I think there's a very big difference between confidence and self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would consider myself to be a highly self-conscious person.
Okay.
And I'm not particularly, for years, I was never comfortable in front of a camera. My whole I mean, I grew up behind the camera. You know, I grew up helping other people film content, right? But then I realized something shifted for me about 5-6 years ago when I realized that trends were changing and people were connecting more with people than they were with businesses. And the importance of me now running a company to be the face of my company and be out there. And what shifted was realizing that I have knowledge. I have knowledge. People want my knowledge. There's a value to that knowledge. And the more I started to share it and the more kind of feedback I got that it was valuable gave me that confidence to start speaking up more. So, and I think most people out there, you know, you're an expert in a field. You know, you've spent years learning about something. You know knowledge, and there are people behind you in the journey who are ready to learn from you. And it's about just starting to take those steps to put that content out there. Mm-hmm. And once you do and you get that feedback, your confidence starts to grow and it starts to grow even more. And then for me, I'm very, very conscious of not reviewing content I put out there. I'm unlikely to watch this podcast once it's done. I'm just, you know, because for me, I don't want to get into a self-critical world. Yes. I want to believe that I've shared, you know, enough value in this that someone will extract something out of it. I don't need to review and assess and, mm-hmm. you know, what I often tell people is, there's especially women, sadly, there's a whole world of women who are really concerned about how they look and concerned about, you know, I mentioned my hair going gray and... It doesn't matter. As long as the content adds value and you embrace that, then that slowly, slowly starts to give you more confidence in the approach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And ever experienced imposter syndrome?
I think I'm of the mentality of always say yes. So I'm constantly in imposter syndrome, but then I get over it very quickly.
Okay.
So because I really believe that the only way to grow and the only way to change is to keep saying yes to opportunities mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe are not in your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So even, for example, at STEP, you know, out of all the panels I could have been on and I could have talked about, I was given a choice and I jumped on the AI stage, right? Why am I on the AI stage? Because that's probably the one I can least talk about, right? Because that forced me. So yes, did I have imposter syndrome? For a little bit, but it forced me to now learn everything I can about AI so that I can overcome that and be confident in that space. So to answer that question, I think if you're a personality type that is always trying to grow, and then you're constantly in imposter syndrome because there's no way you know everything there is to know about the situations and the opportunities that you're stepping into.
Yeah, and imposter syndrome just means you're outside of your comfort zone, which is great, which is where growth happens.
Yeah.
Agreed. And now if you were to think about Reem, but not the professional Reem, who is Reem? Where do you see yourself going?
Where do I see myself going? God, that's a deep question. Yeah. Where do I see myself going? So, you know, I'm very ambitious. I'm very ambitious and I love my industry. I love film and TV. And yes, it changes and evolves. But Oscar winning, that's next on the agenda. Emmy winning. But I want to be working on projects that have that kind of stature. We've been very, very fortunate that we've worked on a number of global projects. We did The Daily Show for Expo 2020. We just did COP28. We just did Untold, which is a whole other
amazing, manic
world. And I think once you've had a taste of global content, global live content, because that has a whole other energy behind it, you just want to keep going. So I'm always looking at what is the next, the bigger, the better, very Dubai, you know, the next bigger, better event that can put us on the map and offer a new challenge. It's all about offering a new challenge and learning.
Yeah.
So I just want to continue learning, continue growing, and hopefully be in a position where we can have create new opportunities for everyone as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we produce a daily TV show. The TV landscape isn't very big in the UAE market. So I would love to see that grow and be part of that and see more content coming out. I argue with people regularly who say, isn't TV dead? I'm like, no. In this part of the world, TV still holds huge credibility. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with that content, how you leverage it online, how you create viral sound bites is where you benefit from both worlds, but I still think there's room for more TV content, and that's something I hope to be part of very soon.
Amazing. A final question for you. What does success mean to you now?
Success means fulfilling your potential and not having expectations. So, you know, doing what you can to be happy. And to me, genuinely, I don't want to be reach the end of my life and feel that I didn't seize opportunities when they came. So for that reason, that's why I'm constantly saying yes, and I'm constantly jumping, and I'm constantly getting out of my comfort zone, because I'm always thinking to myself, I don't want to look back and think, oh, I should have done that, I could have tried that. I'd rather try it and fail than look back and go, oh, that's a missed opportunity. So if I can look back and say I didn't miss any opportunities, I think that's pretty successful.
That's amazing. Thank you, Reem. You're extremely motivational and inspiring. Thank you so much for being here today. And we wish you all the luck. I'm going to wait for the Oscar.
Thank you so much. Watch this space. Yes, absolutely. I appreciate it.